RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. People's Consulta Assembly PR members to share for filler Swiss College. Russian and Indonesian governments have the same concern on fighting against terrorism. To Surabaya mayoral candidate pairs receive stern warnings. Now the news in detail. Members of the People's Consulta Assembly in PR are disseminating the Institution for Guiding Pillars to the Inversion College students across Indonesia. It was stated by NPR Deputy Speaker Mahyudin at the opening of NPR for Pillars dissemination at Jakarta State University, UNJ, in Rawamangun, in East Jakarta on Tuesday. He said each NPR member is expected to vision and speed with at least four university and college in Indonesia. The four pillars of the NPR are the Pancasila Indonesian five-point ideology, the 1945 Constitution or Undang-Undang Dasar 1945, the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia, and the state motto Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, Unity in Diversity. Meanwhile, according to UNJ Vice Rector for Academy Affairs, Mukhlis Rantoni Ludin, the Indonesian people believe that Pancasila and Undang-Undang Dasar 1945 and NKRI and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika as national values thought most political elites today are displaying behavior incompatible with those values. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Michael Glushin in a press conference on Tuesday, October 6, 2015, at his residence in Jakarta said Indonesian and Russian governments have the same concern on fighting against ISIS and terrorism. The countries also have close cooperation in fighting against terrorism such as information exchange, personnel training exchange and holding dialogue on these issues.
As an organization that was designed by Allied powers who won the Second World War, designed to be a multilateral body to maintain world peace and to prevent occurrence of one more world war, and it was one of the main lessons drawn by the international community from the Second World War, that a multilateral universal organization is needed to prevent a repetition of world war again.
In regard to Indonesian-Russian economic relations, Ambassador Galusin said that Russia has invested in the construction of a railway in East Kalimantan in refinery sectors, and he believes that Indonesia is a promising investment for Russia. The 70th UN General Assembly is a commemorative session to maintain the world peace. It was stated by Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Michael Galusin at a press conference at his residence in Jakarta on Tuesday. He further said that an organization set up by the Allied powers in the Second World War, the United Nations is also a body designed to prevent the occurrence of one more world war.
We have very close cooperation with Indonesia in the area of fighting terrorism and in the area of countering terrorism. We have information exchange. We have personal training exchange. Well, we have very close dialogue on these issues, and I would like to remind you, for example, that Indonesian high-ranking representatives actively participated in several international multilateral conferences on security issues, including countering terrorism, which have been held by, which have been hosted by Russia in recent months, including the visit of former Indonesian coordinating minister on legal, security, and political affairs, Mr. Tejo Edepulgijatno, to Russia in June.
Ambassador Michael Gelson further said that Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla, who attended the 70th UN General Assembly session in New York, said that it was necessary to rely on the United Nations to seek world peace and prosperity. Ambassador Michael also said that Vice President Yusuf Kalla also proposes strong opposition and objection outside interference on domestic affairs. Indonesian students in Cairo need to maintain a balance between learning activities on campus and outside the campus activities in order to complete the study in time. It was announced by the President of Indonesian Student Association, Abdul Ghafur Mahmudin, to RRI correspondent in Cairo, Egypt on Wednesday. Responding to a question about the number of Indonesian students who are active in the various activities outside the campus, Abdul admitted that the education system at the University of Al-Azhar does not apply students to attend the lecture room. This is utilized by the students, including Indonesian students, to be active in the organization activities. According to Abdul, being active in organization does not mean ignoring their studies.
Sebenarnya kalau sistem pendidikan udah bagus, cuman
the education system is good. Indeed, here there is no third compulsory course, there is no compulsory attendance. But in my opinion, it is not become an obstacle. Means that it doesn't matter about your presence in the class. The important thing is when you can finish the task. Those who are not attend the class, they study at home, study in groups by visiting the masjid, the sheikh, so that they take the action smoothly. Abdul said activities outside the campus, such as standing study that is held both at mosques and at the homes of Indonesia family in Cairo, is very useful and it can support the student activities. Abdul added his site has always told the new Indonesian student in Cairo, Egypt, to manage their time well. The Surabaya City Election Supervisory Committee Panwaslu has issued stern warnings to the two pairs of mayoral candidates for violating campaign rules. It was stated by Chief of Election Supervisory Committee Wahyu Haryadi in Surabaya's job on Tuesday. The pair of mayoral and vice mayoral candidate Risma Wisnu violated the campaign rules by setting up the first volunteer command post at the Neighborhood Association Hall. The pair of mayoral and vice mayoral candidate Rishio Lucy received a stern warning after the election supervisory committee found numerous pictures of the candidates stuck on the rear glass window of Sherpa public transport minivans. He urged the two pairs of mayoral candidates to abide by campaign rules, otherwise they could be disqualified from the mayoral election. He urged the campaign teams of the two mayoral candidates first should comply with the rules. Surabaya, which is the second largest city in Indonesia, will hold its mayoral election on December 9th, along with 268 regional elections across the country. Indonesia is set to showcase culinary diversity at the 2015 Frankfurt Food Fair. At the fair running from October 14 to 18, Indonesia is ready to share the archipelago's unique dishes and wide-ranging culinary tradition at the event as they participate this year as a guest of honor. According to one member of the Indonesian delegation, director of Jafara Local Foods distributor Helianti Hilman, Indonesia will showcase hundreds of local spices at the festival to garner global recognition as a spice hub. Culinary expert Bondan Winarno said that Indonesia was not yet adept at promoting its cuisine to the world. Another culinary expert, William Wonso, added that it would be the first time ever that the Culture and Elementary and Secondary Education Minister has sent a culinary team of 40 people to the event. 33 Indonesian publishers will participate in the Frankfurt Book Fair, the world's biggest and oldest book festival. The event involves 126 participating countries and draws more than 260,000 visitors. The last item, the Youth and Sport Minister is set to modernize the Gelora Bung Karno Sport Complex, JBK, as part of the country's preparation to host the 2018 Asian Games. In addition to revitalizing several parts of the complex to meet the international standards, the government will also create supporting facilities to attract visitors. Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi during a meeting with Nippon Electric Company, NEC, Indonesia, at his office on Tuesday. He said that Indonesia will build a circuit at GBK that will readily connect to the mass rapid transit MRT system and at several modern public areas similar to the Los Angeles Stadium, such as restaurants. The company, which provides information technology solutions, is seeking to support the ministry in the project. NEC Indonesia manager Vera Lilian said that his company is looking to recommend a stadium solution to support Indonesia in becoming the host of the Asian Games 2018, especially in modernizing the stadium and other sport activities. The minister hinted that NEC would join future ministry-level discussion around defense preparation. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled The World Bank Lower Growth Projection of Developing Countries. Listener, last Monday, October the 5th, the World Bank announced a new projection of economic growth in East Asia and the Pacific. The World Bank highlighted 14 countries, namely Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Thailand, China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, Mongolia, Fiji, Papua New Guinea, the Solomon Islands, and Timor-Leste. The average growth is predicted to be 6.5% this year, 6.4% next year, and 6.3% for 2017. The figure is lower than last year's economic growth of 6.8%. This is a reflection of slowing economic growth in China, said Sudhir Shetty, World Bank Chief Economist for East Asia and the Pacific, in Singapore via teleconference on Monday, October the 5th. According to Shetty, the economic slowdown that will occur in China is the impact of the country's economic stabilization policy. The policy includes cutting the country's debt, prohibition of saving outside the banking system, and increasing the state's role in the financial system. He said if Chinese growth is increasingly slowing down, its effects can be felt throughout the region, especially in countries that are connected with China through trade, investment, and tourism. Not only China factor, the World Bank also takes into account the U.S. Central Bank or Federal Reserve's plan to raise its benchmark interest rate in the next few months. Even though this increase has been anticipated and is expected to take place on a regular basis, there remains a risk. Sudhir Shetty further said the market may react to the tightening, which can lead to currency depreciation, rising differences in yield, reduction in the flow of funds, and tightening liquidity. The interesting thing from the World Bank report is that the growth in the Philippines and Vietnam are the highest among Southeast Asian countries by 5.8%. Meanwhile, Indonesia and Malaysia will experience the lowest growth at 4.7%. The World Bank report can be used as a reference by the Indonesian government to immediately improve itself. The government has issued Economic Package 1 and 2, referring to the economic growth projection for East Asia and the Pacific. It is expected there will be a package of new government policies to raise growth above the World Bank's projection. This effort is important as Indonesia is predicted to experience the lowest growth among the ASEAN countries, with a growth which is at least the same as that of other ASEAN member countries. The upcoming ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, will not be a burden for Indonesia. Instead, it will give an advantage if Indonesia's economic strength is able to meet the demand set for the ASEAN Economic Community, or AEC. And listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people in and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event which occurred on October 7, 1919, the establishment of the Dutch National Airlines KLM. Koninklijke Luchtvaartmaatschappij, or KLM, is the Dutch airlines, which was operated from Schiphol Airport near Amsterdam. KLM, which was established on October 7, 1919, is the oldest airline that still used the same name consistently. Its first flight was on May 17, 1920, with London to Amsterdam route, carried two British journalists. The flight was firstly scheduled in 1921. The KLM's first intercontinental flight route was the Amsterdam-Batavia, now Jakarta, Indonesia, in 1929. The transatlantic flight was started from Amsterdam to Curaçao in 1934. In May 2004, KLM was taken over by Air France, producing Air France KLM. The aviation company was located in French jurisdiction, which centered at Charles de Gaulle International Airport, Paris. On October 7, 2001, the United States rekindled of war in Afghanistan. On October 7, 2001, the U.S. military has initiated two attacks on terrorist training camps of Al-Qaeda and military installations of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan, known as Operation Enduring Freedom. The attack was carried out a month after the terror attacks that destroyed the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York and damaged the headquarters of the U.S. Department of Defense, the Pentagon. The first attack was targeted to the air defense installations of Taliban, the Ministry of Defense, command centers at airport, airfield, electricity networks, and other energy production facilities. On the first day of the attack to Afghanistan, there were 15 bombs, 25 air strikes, while battleships and submarines of the United States and Britain fired 50 Tomahawk missiles. In addition, spy plane and supervisor satellites were also deployed to monitor the success of the attack. Afghanistan war became the longest conflict in U.S. history, even exceed from the fighting in Vietnam. Last event on October 7, 2004, Norodom Sihanouk resigned from the throne of King of Cambodia. Norodom Sihanouk became the King of Cambodia, replacing his father, King Sisawat Monifong, in 1941, who took power until 1955. He was replaced by King Norodom Suramarit. After changing position in politics, Norodom Sihanouk then back in power in 1993 up to 2004. On October 7, 2004, Norodom Sihanouk resigned due to health consideration and handed over his throne to his eldest son from Queen Moninith, Norodom Sihamoni. On October 15, 2012, around 2 a.m. Beijing time, His Majesty King Father Norodom Sihanouk passed away at the hospital in Beijing. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Voice Green, today's edition entitled Indonesia Host the Asia-Pacific Urban Agenda. Indonesia will host the three urban agendas, namely Asia-Pacific Urban Youth Forum, the 6th Asia-Pacific Urban Forum, and the Ministerial Conference or the High-Level Regional Meeting. Infrastructure Integration Director of Public Works and Public Housing Ministry, Dwityo Suranto, in Jakarta recently said that three of these agendas will be opened by President Joko Widodo, based on the report of Antara. Asia-Pacific Urban Youth Forum would be held in Jakarta on October 17th and 18th, while the 6th Asia-Pacific Urban Forum on October 19th to 21st and the Ministerial Conference on October 21st to 22nd. Dwityo added, "The implementation of the three activities is an initial meeting of stakeholders toward the implementation of Habitat 3, which will be held next year in Quito, Ecuador. Habitat 3 is the UN Global Summit,
which is the adoption of the post-2015 development agenda. Habitat 3 will reinforce the strategic partnership of leaders in the discussion of new sustainable urban development agenda. Indonesia will host the summit of the Asia-Pacific region, as well as the preparatory committee for Habitat 3 meeting in July 2016 in Surabaya. Meanwhile, Asia-Pacific Urban Youth Forum will be held by Indonesian government in collaborating with the United Nations Fourth Settlement Program, or UN Habitat, and supported by Asian Development Bank, ADB, some other work partners, including youth organizations, community group, and science agencies. The event will involve 300 participants from Indonesia and Asia-Pacific countries with a number of representatives. The forum will present regional platform for Asia-Pacific youth in articulating issues and urban solutions that influence to their life and communities. Asia-Pacific Urban Youth Forum is the forum of Asia-Pacific youth who care about urban and settlement, which will offer any steps toward a constructive partnership with the youth as the key stakeholders to answer urban issues faced in the Asia-Pacific region. While the 6th Asia-Pacific Urban Forum will bring the theme, the sustainable urban development in Asia-Pacific to the new urban agenda, there are a variety of new and difficult issues currently growing in sustainable urban development in the Asia-Pacific region and the priority areas, which will be an important part of the post-2015 development agenda. According to Duitio, the forum will provide recommendations to the high-level meeting headed the Habitat 3 for the Asia-Pacific region in terms of priority issues that will be considered in the urban new agenda. The results of the forum will be presented in the meeting of the regional high-level as input toward Habitat 3 for the Asia-Pacific region. The conference is held in line with the 20-year cycle. Previously, it has been implemented in 1976, 1996, and will be organized in 2016 to promote the global commitment. The commitment involved the sustainable urbanization, which is focused in the implementation of the urban new agenda. Listener, that was today's Voice Green.
Listener, here's the headlines of several national newspapers published today in Jakarta, October 7, 2015. We begin with Kompas, which in its headlines wrote, "Haze as humanity disaster." For almost 2 months, the humanity disaster happened due to the haze in several parts of Sumatra and Kalimantan. The disaster did not only create loss in economy, environment and health sector, but also took 3 lives. The third victim was Muhammad Iqbal of Rio, who died in his way to Awal Bros Panam Hospital in Pekanbaru. The other 2 victims were Muhammad Anggriawati in Pekanbaru and Nabila Julia Ramadhani in Jambi. Meanwhile, head of Rio Health Office, Andra Syafril, said the delayed haze handling resulted in people's health worsened by the haze. He said, "There is no special hospital for the haze disaster in the city and in the regency." Meanwhile, Republika wrote, "Rupiah strengthens because of the Fed." Rupiah exchange rate against US dollar increased significantly on Tuesday, October the 6th. Even Bloomberg said that this was the highest increase, reaching 262 points since May 2012. Bloomberg also said that Rupiah strengthened 1.81% into the level of 14,241 rupiahs per 1 US dollar from the Monday closing on October the 5th with 14,503 rupiah per 1 US dollar. Meanwhile, Senior Deputy Governor of Bank Indonesia, Mirza Adityaswara, admitted that the rupiah exchange was strengthened by the global condition due to the economy data of the US. According to him, the global economy is really depending on the situation in the United States of America, including the Fed. Listener, we end today's headlines with Tempo. Prasetyo has 3 options in Babang case. Attorney General H.M. Prasetyo respected President Joko Widodo's decision in responding to support from 72 academicians who asked the case for Vice Chairman of Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK, Bambang Wijoyanto, to be stopped. He admitted to be having 3 options of the issue. In his statement on Sunday,
I should say Saturday. Responding the open letter by the academicians, Jokowi said that it was a good input and promised to consider it. Meanwhile, the three options include: first, Bambang's case will proceed into the court; second, the files of Bambang's case will be studied by the prosecutor, whether the file that is still in Central Jakarta Court met the requirements or not; and third, Prasetyo as the Attorney General will give the partnering. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Members of the People's Consulta Assembly PR are disseminating the institution for guiding pillars to diverse and students across Indonesia. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Michael Gulish in a press conference on Tuesday, October 6, 2015, at his residence in Jakarta, said Indonesian and Russian governments have the same concern on the fighting against ISIS and terrorism. The 70th UN General Assembly is commemorative session to maintain the world peace. It was stated by Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Michael Gulish at a press conference at his residence in Jakarta on Tuesday. Indonesian students in Cairo need to maintain a balance between learning activities on campus and outside the campus activities in order to complete the study in time. The Surabaya City Election Supervisory Committee Panwaslu has issued stern warnings to the two pairs of mayoral candidates for violating campaign rules. It was stated by chief of the Election Supervisory Committee Wahyu Haryadi in Surabaya, East Java on Tuesday. Indonesia is set to showcase its culinary diversity at the 2015 Pramput Boot Fair. At the fair running from October 14 to 18, Indonesia is ready to share the archipelago's unique dishes and wide-ranging culinary tradition at the event as they participate this year as a guest of honor. The Youth and Sport Minister is set to modernize the Gelora Bung Karno Sport Complex, GBK, as part of the country's preparation to host the 2018 Asian Games. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, special food, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Tapa Kolo, a special food from East Nusa Tenggara province, so stay tuned. Listener, Flores is a 14,300 kilometer wide island in East Nusa Tenggara province. Together with Alor and Pantar, Flores is a ring fire in the archipelago. Behind its geographic condition, which becomes part of ring fire, Flores has many natural beauties such as Komodo National Park. Even it is famous among various countries in the world. Besides Komodo National Park, Flores also presents various interesting tourism attractions. You can swim at the clear and blue sea or at the lake, and also at natural waterfall, diving, canoeing among the mangrove and steep cliffs. On the land, you can explore mysterious caves and will be welcomed by the local people through traditional ritual. After exploring beautiful nature of Flores, don't forget to taste its typical food. One of them is in East Manggarai Regency. East Manggarai people has tapa kolo food. Tapa means roast, and kolo means to cook a thing with seasoning. So, tapa kolo can be meant to cook rice with roasted seasoning. This food is usually served during traditional ceremonies, either at Genang traditional room at the center of the hamlet or at the plantation. But this food cannot be served as daily dish in family. Listener, tapa kolo use local red rice as the main ingredient. To serve it, the rice, which has been cleaned together with water and seasoning, is put into a small bamboo. This bamboo is covered by young palm leaf. Sometimes the rice is mixed with chicken meat. When they are all ready, the bamboo is roasted on fire around 1 until 1.5 hours. To enjoy tapa kolo, this roasted rice is usually mixed with chicken or pork soup. Tapa kolo is mixed with soup because the texture is a little bit stiff. The taste of tapa kolo is savory and delicious. Listener, tapa kolo reflects the cooking style of East Manggarai people at the hamlets. In the past, East Manggarai people did not know how to cook tubers and rice by using stoves. They only knew to roast it. This is the local policy that was inherited by the ancestors, especially if materials were taken from nature. Forests. This cooking style is preserved now in traditional ritual at the hamlet of East Manggarai region. Before tapa kolo is cooked, a traditional ritual is held by a traditional leader. The rice, which will be put into the bamboo, is ritualized to give food to the nature and ancestor. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Berwisata ke Malang. Berwisata ke Malang, or in English means traveling to Malang. So stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and expressions that relate to our today's topic. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. Berwisata. Berwisata in English means to travel. Cuti kerja. Cuti kerja in English, to leave work. Dengar. Dengar in English, to hear. Satu minggu. Satu minggu in English, 1 week. Rencana. Rencana, which means plan. Pergi. Pergi in English, to go. Jawa Timur. Jawa Timur in English is Java. Kunjungi. Kunjungi in English, to visit. Museum Angkut. Museum Angkut in English, transport museum. Jelaskan. Jelaskan in English, to explain. Museum. Museum in English, museum. Pengalaman. Pengalaman in English, to, in English, experience. Berfoto. Berfoto in English, to take a picture. Mobil antik. Mobil antik in English means antique car. Berbagai tipe. Berbagai tipe in English means various types. Sekitar means around. 20 in English means kilometer. 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 Sebelah barat. Sebelah barat in English, to the west. Wahana permainan. Wahana permainan in English, rides. Kapan berangkat? Kapan berangkat? In English, when do you leave? Bandara. Bandara in English, airport. Selamat jalan. Selamat jalan in English, goodbye. Hati-hati. Hati-hati in English means take care. Now we give you an example of a conversation between Rani or A and Lisa or B. I will say the sentence 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Lisa, aku dengar kamu cuti kerja selama 1 minggu. Lisa, aku dengar kamu cuti kerja selama 1 minggu. In English, Lisa, I heard you take a leave for 1 week. Apa benar? Apa benar? In English, is it true? B. Benar, aku ada rencana pergi ke kota Malang, Jawa Timur. Benar, aku ada rencana pergi ke kota Malang, Jawa Timur. In English, yes it is. I plan to travel to Malang, East Java. A. Apa yang akan kamu kunjungi di kota Malang? Apa yang akan kamu kunjungi di kota Malang? In English, what will you visit in Malang? B. Aku akan mengunjungi Museum Angkut Jatim Park 1 dan Taman Wisata Selekta. Aku akan mengunjungi Museum Angkut Jatim Park 1 dan Taman Wisata Selekta. In English, I will visit Transport Museum, Jatim 1 Park, and Selekta Recreational Park. A. Museum Angkut. Apa itu? Museum Angkut. Apa itu? In English, Transport Museum. What is that? B. Museum Angkut tidak sama dengan museum lainnya. Museum Angkut tidak sama dengan museum lainnya. In English, Transport Museum is not the same as other museums. Karena museum ini menyimpan berbagai tipe alat transportasi yang ada di dunia. Karena museum ini menyimpan berbagai tipe alat transportasi yang ada di dunia. In English, because the museum collects various types of means of transportation in the world. Kamu akan mempunyai pengalaman berfoto dekat mobil antik berbagai tipe. Kamu akan mempunyai pengalaman berfoto dekat mobil antik berbagai tipe. In English, English, you will have an experience of taking a picture near various types of antique cars. A. Bagaimana dengan Jatim Park 1? Bagaimana dengan Jatim Park 1? In English, how about Jatim Park 1? B. Jatim Park 1 merupakan taman rekreasi yang berada sekitar 20 km sebelah barat kota Malang. Jatim Park 1 merupakan taman rekreasi yang berada sekitar 20 km sebelah barat kota Malang. In English, Jatim Park 1 is a recreational park located around 20 km west of Malang City. Ada 36 wahana permainan yang dapat kita coba. Ada 36 wahana permainan yang dapat kita coba. In English, there are 36 rides there that we can try. Apa yang kamu mau? Apa kamu mau ikut dengan aku ke Malang? Apakah kamu mau ikut dengan aku ke Malang? In English, are you coming with me to Malang? A. Maaf, aku tidak ikut kamu. Maaf, aku tidak bisamu. In English, sorry, I can't. Di kantoran yang belum selesai. Banyak pekerjaan yang belum selesai. In English, I have many unfinished works to do at the office. B. Wah, sayang sekali. Aku berharap di lain waktu kamu bisa ikut. Wah, sayang sekali. Aku berharap di lain waktu kamu bisa ikut. In English, that's a pity. I hope you can join me someday. A. Kapan kamu berangkat? Kapan kamu berangkat? In English, when will you leave? B. Besok pagi dengan pesawat jam 7 dari Bandara Cengkareng. Besok pagi dengan pesawat jam 7 dari Bandara Cengkareng. In English, I will leave tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock by plane from Cengkareng Airport. A. Baiklah, selamat jalan. Hati-hati ya. Baiklah, selamat jalan. Hati-hati ya. In English, all right, have a safe flight. Take care. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening, and we meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to two female singers who join in a group, namely Bob the Disco. They also play music instruments as the guitarist and the bassist. Bob the Disco is the real girl band. Well, listener, let's start to listen the first song from Bob the Disco entitled Good Time.
Everybody have a good time. When they fall in love, feeling in love, oh oh. Nobody wanna say goodbye. Nobody wanna say goodbye. When they fall in love, feeling in love, oh oh. Semua bahagia
Listener, Pop the Disco group consisted of Fia and Sarah. Fia has previously released an album and she was also known as a famous composer of songs, while Sarah is a talented bassist who has joined with top musicians or group band in Indonesia, such as Superband, that was formed by Arya Baron. Fia and Sarah met in a band project, namely Thinker Bell. Then their friendship gave an idea to compose the songs together. They found a formula that can represent their music in a group, namely Pop the Disco. They call their music as pop rock electro fun, which is inspired from foreign girl bands such as The Runaways and The Ting Tings. A good cooperative to work the music has produced popular songs in the country such as Resah Tanpamu, sung by Titi Kamal, an Indonesian famous artist. Listener, now we'll take you to the next song entitled Move On by Pop the Disco Band. Listener, Fia and Sarah produced the songs together in their studio.
Their talent to compose a lot of songs is a basic to penetrate Indonesian music industry. Let's listen to their music talent in their debut single, Have Some Fun. Well, before we end today's music corner, we played the last two songs by Pop the Disco entitled Have Some Fun and Pop the Disco. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
I wanna have some fun.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
To disco, pop, to disco, pop, to
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.